A student recently asked Rinpoche if there was anything we could do to help dying and dead people. And Rinpoche said, I'm maybe no expert in this, but I can share some of my experience. In the strictest sense, to liberate or really help sentient beings in the bardos in the process of dying, this would be done by an enlightened teacher. It's not really something that ordinary lay students have the ability to do. Even in the sutras, it says to be able to help those in the bardos, it needs a really highly realized practitioner to help, to save them. So normal students aren't able to save them in the ultimate sense. What normal practitioners can do is recite sutras on their behalf. And this is benefit. There's no danger in this. Similarly, as when we do animal liberations, we recite some sutras or some texts, and this also helps benefit them. However, this is an assistance. It's not directly sending the mind of the fish or the liberated animal to the pure lands. And for an enlightened teacher to be able to help liberate the student to the pure lands or to a very good place also depends on the arising causes, many conditions of the student. And it'll also be influenced by the special relationship or the special arising causes between the enlightened teacher and the person who has died, or the bardo being. And one of those is unmoving belief. If the enlightened teaching is using the method of poa, the student in the bardos may be able to be liberated from the suffering of samsara and go to the pure lands. This is possible. However, it is necessary that this is done by an enlightened teacher. As ordinary practitioners or practitioners not of a very high level of practice, what can we do? We can still, we might meet circumstances where people have passed away. We can still recite mantras, do meritorious deeds on their behalf to benefit them. And it won't harm them. However, we should take into account the following. One thing we can do is that when it appears as if their breath is basically going to come to an end or is just coming to an end, then we can put them into the lion posture. We can put their right hand underneath their head and their left hand on top of their leg, their thigh. This is the same posture that you see the pictures of Buddha when he left the world, when he attained parinirvana. And this posture has incredible blessing, and it is also mentioned in the sutras. This posture will be of great assistance that the person doesn't fall into the three lower realms, the hell realms, the hungry ghost realms, the animal realms. It's very simple, however, it has great blessing and very useful. However, if all signs of the external breath has already stopped, then don't move their body. They still haven't completely died. There's still an inner process of death going on, for instance, with their energies and their channels. And so the lion posture is of great benefit. And then what you can also do, which will help them, when they are very close to the time of actually dying, or they're going through the stage where it really is the most painful, then with respect to all their material possessions, don't discuss it or start making plans about it. And also, don't cry loudly, and some of these people grab their leg, and they pull, and they cry, or they pull their hand, wailing, crying out loudly. This causes a lot of suffering for the dying person. And the person that is doing the crying, it's also not considered good for them. And with respect to their possessions, if you start discussing it, fighting it about it, separating it, if the person who's dying is not a good practitioner, they might get a sense of anger. I haven't even died already and you're already discussing my possessions. It's very possible they'll think about this. We can understand this. If the person is on the verge of death, and you're busy saying, oh, this is yours, this is mine, discussing their possessions, although they might not be able to participate in the discussion, there's a very good chance they will give rise to anger. This is not good for the live people discussing it, and the person that's dying as well. They die in a state of anger, and this could be the create the karmic seeds that sends them to the hells. It really has no benefit for them. So, by their side, don't be crying and wailing, and don't be discussing their possessions. It could bring a lot of difficulties and harm to them. If you have to discuss these things, then don't do it in front of them. Go to another room, even better, do it outside. Although their breath may have stopped, their mind, they're still able to hear what's going on. And if they are very close to leaving, or they already left the world, then when you recite mantras or sutras, don't recite too loudly. In a very soft voice, just so loud enough so that they can hear it. Or in addition, they're very close or on the verge of death, or they have the external signs of dying, like their breath has stopped. In this state, then what you can do is put a statue close by to them on the pillow or a picture of their root lama. But don't go touching their head. Some people, they get a little bit anxious because they see the person has died and they start putting the statue on their body or their head, and this is not satisfactory. Blessing them with the Dharma object or using a tanka to bless them. Do not do this. I don't know if it's where it's written, but it really says that when you touch the people in this stage, they experience incredible pain. To them, it'll feel like as if we are stabbing person with a knife. Even more painful than this. So once that external sign of their breathing has stopped, don't touch them, don't move them as best as you can. And whatever you do nearby them, do it very quietly and gently. When you open or close any doors, do it very quietly. And if we invite any monastic to come and do some practices on their behalf, again, we should do this very softly. Some people think that if they recite very loudly, it's going to have even extra blessing. This is not necessarily the case. The practice can be done according to the situation. Don't have to recite too loudly. It's the same as well. If somebody, we want to support them. If we use a lot of force, we may hurt the person. But if we gently raise them and support them according to the situation, that person will feel a lot more comfortable. For instance, if we support somebody, we support, help them up if they've fallen. In the time before this dying or dead person's mind leaves the body, even the smallest, subtlest touch or movement can disturb them, can hurt them. Essentially, do your best not to disturb them. Maybe close by to their body, you can place some sutras or some Dharma holy objects. Put a picture of Sakyamuni Buddha, Amitabha, maybe their root lama on their pillow. And next to their pillow, place a light that is going to be on 24 hours. And this will help them when they're in the state of the bardos, in the state of darkness, it'll give them some light. And this light will give some security and also help alleviate some fear. And aspire that they may, on their path in the bardos, that they may have some light. And to help create positive arising causes. And this has also been described by some of the past great enlightened masters as something that will help. So close to their pillow, we can make a light offering. And these are some of the preparations we can make for the dying person. And if there's a monastic or somebody coming to help recite or do practices on behalf of the dying person, then minimum they should have a heart of bodhicitta. If we are going there to benefit the dying person, but we don't have any compassion, and then our actions and our thinking are not in terms of the Dharma without compassion, it's not going to be of an advantage to the dying person, because the dying person is very clear about our thoughts and our actions. The dying person's mind is very clear about these things, and if the the monastic doesn't possess this, the compassion, then the dying person may be very angry. And if the monastic's thoughts are impure, they just also create very negative causes for themselves. If they have material concerns, what are those material concerns? It's like, oh, when I come to help this person, I wonder what nice food or drinks they're going to give me. Do these people here respect me? Do they think I'm important? Will I get a nice offering from these people? And that they think that they have a sense of self-importance. And maybe they recite very loudly, really for the purpose that the people around can hear how conscientious they are. Material concerns like this. The purpose of being there is not for the living people and for your own fame, fortune, or status. It's to help the person that is dying, and especially in the most difficult time. That we support them, that they have a sense of confidence that behind them there is a monastic that is doing positive practices and reciting mantras on their behalf, which may also help alleviate some of their fear. And this is the main purpose, is to benefit the dying person, not benefit the living people that have asked us to come over. So really let go of all of these material concerns, and this is what is required of the monastic. And for those people that are left behind, if you don't want to invite a monastic over, you don't have that belief, of course, no problem at all. But if you do invite the monastic over, then it's very important that you treat them with respect and humility and with belief in them as well. This monastic is the embodiment of a bodhisattva, and they are here to help and benefit my mother or my fellow family member that is passing away. The monastic may not be able to save this dying person, send them to the pure lands, but what they can do is at least through their compassion, they will be of valuable support to the dying person. So maintain a state of respect and gratitude towards the monastic. In this way, the monastic has compassion, the person, the invitee, has respect, and the dying person may have a sense of safety. And their mind can have less fear, feel more relaxed, due to the blessing of the mantras, the practices being done. And this is of benefit. In addition, Rinpoche says this is not written in the sutras, but it is his own belief, is that when the person has died, don't go spending all sorts of time making all sorts of photographs and the noises of the photographs. It will not benefit the dying person. Rinpoche says if he's going to sleep and somebody is around him taking photographs before he's gone into deep sleep, he will feel uncomfortable or unhappy about this. And using this as the consideration, Rinpoche also thinks that just the same for the dying person. When they have died and you're taking photographs, it's going to have an influence. It will affect them. When they are alive, spend time with them, accompany them, love them. When they die, respect their process of death. There's no need to do all sorts of things. Be respectful around the dying person, just like you would around a living person. It's of no benefit to you or the dying person doing things that would make them unhappy in the process of death or when they're dead or frightening them. And these are some preliminary exercises that we can do to help them. And then for actual practice,